If you use a dating app and something goes terribly awry, say there's a sexual assault, and you report it to the app, you may think they'd have a standard response. Well, you would, in many cases, be wrong. That's the finding of a new investigation by ProPublica and Columbia Journalism Investigations. They found that many online dating companies employ untrained moderators to handle a wave of customer claims of assault, and they have to do it within minutes, like workers in a factory moving widgets down a conveyor belt. In fact, they say this huge industry has no real standards for responding to reports of offline harm or removing offenders from the platform. Now, word of caution, we're going to go into detail about some sexual assault, but it's important because survivors have started to speak out. One stood outside the headquarters of Tinder holding the sign, "My rapist is still on Tinder," after weeks of trying to get Tinder to remove him. We're going to hear in a few minutes from one of the reporters behind this story, but first, Tracy Litwin, the 30-year-old Chicago resident, filed a complaint with Bumble in 2018 after a man she met on the site and had relations with removed his condom without her consent. Now, that's not a criminal offense, but it's called stealthing by advocates who see it as a form of assault. It's unsafe. So, Tracy, a matter of trust and safety, address first people who may argue, but it's not assault. What did it mean to you?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because for me, it took a little bit of time for me to really process that what happened to me was assault. You know, I thought it was just a not great thing to do to somebody. You know, I hadn't consented to this at all, and I didn't even have a chance to say, like, wait, you know, I'm not okay with this. It was kind of that moment, you know, where you hear people, survivors, talk about being frozen, and I just kind of like sat there, laid there, and was like, oh my God, is this actually happening to me? And after a little bit of processing, I realized that it was assault. And thankfully, more people are talking about this so that other people can recognize it as assault much sooner than I did.
So with this feeling, you went to Bumble and made an initial complaint. What happened next?
Yeah, I think I had seen his profile and made a complaint, and I believe I just got a pretty benign form email in response letting me know that they were going to look into it. They appreciated me contacting them. And then I saw him again not too long later, and I had tweeted at Bumble, look, you know, this guy who assaulted me is on your dating app, and I've already tried making a complaint. And they got back to me right away. They directly messaged me, and they were able to get him banned from Bumble. But then, like, maybe a year or so later, I saw him again. So it really showed me that they're not really flagging these accounts that are being accused of assault or harassment or whatever it might be, so that when they come back up, I mean, there's really like no filter for catching these people for going back on to this app again.
Well, first, after reading this report, at least you got a response from Bumble. We're going to hear how some of these platforms are so overwhelmed with complaints about sexual assault that they're not even getting back to people, which is so frightening. But what did employees say to you about, you know, they seemed to know what was going on. They used language about what this user was doing to explain why he kept popping back up.
Yeah, I think they said that he had created a new email address or found another way to get around how they usually block people. But, you know, it's funny because I've had friends who got blocked for seemingly no reason on other dating apps. And so they can't use these apps at all. And then there's somebody who, you know, someone directly came out and said, you know, this person assaulted me or this person harassed me. And these are people who keep popping up on these apps over and over again.
By the way, you didn't go to police.
No.
As you said, this isn't, you know, it's not criminal. But so the other thing is that you had to handle this yourself. What was that like being the one, you know, the burden on you?
I think because of the gray nature of my assault, not that like one is, you know, more serious than the other, I think, you know, I felt like capable of being able to handle it. But I, you know, there's so many people who try to go to the police or try to go to an app like Bumble, and they're just completely shut down. And it's really heartbreaking to know that we just don't offer adequate support. If you're going to offer a service like a dating app, then you should have trained people in place. And it was really surprising to me that you know, I was being connected with somebody who really had no background in how to help me.
So I'm wondering if that's a burden, too, that you know that there's someone out there doing this and maybe doing it to other women.
Yeah, that was what was most important to me, was making sure that this didn't happen again. You know, it wasn't a sense of, like, justice for me, because, you know, I just wanted to make sure that other people in my community were safe from this person.
Tracy Litwin, on her experience with the dating app Bumble. Tracy, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Elizabeth Naismith-Pichani is a reporter for Columbia Journalism Investigations. Elizabeth, you also heard from women who were violently raped by dating site dates. But were you hearing from women who, like Tracy, were very uncomfortable and felt violated by dates?
Yes, definitely. We put out a crowdsourcing survey to hear from as many women as possible, but we were pretty particular in our request for sexual assault related instances. So there were a few cases of harassment or perhaps uncomfortability, but I think most of them were rooted in sexual assault. And I think Tracy's anecdote in particular is still considered by experts a form of assault, even though it's not criminal because it was without her consent. And especially with things like sexually transmitted diseases, and it's still a form of withdrawing from someone's consent.
And it's unhealthy and it's unsafe. And what about her experience that Bumble did respond, which is better than some of the other apps, and then even a year later, this fellow pops back up? How common is that, that an app tries to do something and get someone off the platform, but they can't?
Yeah, we were seeing that from several women and users saying that they saw their alleged perpetrator back online, and sometimes on another dating app as well.
Well, and explain what the system is like. These moderators who at Hinge, for instance, they are processing up to 60 complaints an hour. That's a minute a complaint. I mean, talk about how many they're getting, who these moderators are, they're not trained, and the pressure they're under.
We were seeing this common thread throughout the industry that a lot of platforms have these quotas where moderators have to meet a certain amount within an hour. Those moderators with that 60 an hour aren't actually responding to the victim, but they will be flagging the report, going through the information to try and decide whether to block him or not, and pulling relevant details like birthday, username, name. And then at other places like OkCupid, we saw, including responding to the users, they had an average of about 4 minutes, which, you know, then if you don't hit that mark, you're going to be pushed for the rest of the day. And like you said, feel enormous pressure is what we were hearing constantly from these employees.
Yeah, you spoke with them and they felt that there was no corporate guidance, no, you know, across the board policies that they could follow. And they're not, you know, investigators. What do you say to people who say, hey, wait a minute, I don't think people should just be allowed to call up a social media site and say, you should ban this person without some criminal charge? And I can hear someone saying, you might just have a disgruntled ex-girlfriend who calls some, you know, unprofessional moderator and tells them to get somebody off the platform.
My response to that would be looking at what the companies are saying publicly, and they have a lot of public promises about banning on first accusation. So that's a standard they're setting, and whether they're following through with it is another question. But I'm referencing in particular Match Group, who is really the titan of the industry and the giant player here, because they own most of the most popular dating apps like Tinder, Hinge, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish. They're a $2 billion company. I mean, other studies have also found it's quite uncommon for sexual assault allegations to be false, but that's kind of another story.
I guess I'm saying these companies have set themselves up for lawsuits on behalf of people who've tried to tell them to take something down. It doesn't get taken down, and maybe somebody offends again on behalf of people who get falsely accused, even though that's rare. It sounds like a pretty rickety system.
They really actually haven't been found liable. It's quite different as an internet company than a brick and mortar, where there's, if someone slips on aisle 5 and there was a notice of it, a small business might be held liable. Actually, these internet platforms have been found to not be liable when there's been an instance from an interaction they had facilitated. And even in cases where the company had been warned and harm occurred again. And a lot of that falls under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act.
What it does is it deflects lawsuits claiming negligence for incidents involving users harmed by other users.
Its original intention, a really great example I think of, is a Yelp review. Like if someone complains about a restaurant, Yelp isn't liable for that user's complaint of the restaurant. But now it's been extended to these instances and things like offline harm and algorithms and how the platform is run from the inside.
That's investigative reporter Elizabeth Naismith Pichani. She's with Columbia Journalism Investigations. They linked up with ProPublica to do this investigation of the dating app industry. We'll link you to their findings at herenow.org. Elizabeth, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.